Well, kia ora, and thank you again, me taki mata, for the chance to talk.
Look, you know, we've been, you know, you and us, it's been Pacifica and Māori all the way through this last 18 months of COVID. And, you know, we've been doing it. We've been doing the hard yards, trying to take care of our communities, going out and, you know, running strategies that suit us, bringing our people to us, us going to our people for testing and for vaccinations. The government got it dreadfully, dreadfully wrong with both Māori and Pacifica, didn't they?
That's right, and I think that's because they weren't listening. They're used to those Wellington bureaucrats, and that was a major problem, actually, because you would think that the smart people in Wellington would recognise the demographics of the Pacific and the Māori populations, lots of young people, vulnerable young people, and then also that age group up to 35 or 40. So, yes, there were some big hiccups there. But what I'm really grateful for, and we should as a country be grateful for it, is the work of people like Josephine Bartley, Opito William Sewer, the Pacific MPs who really got in there and did things. And you have to look at their work on Facebook and social media. They're out there every weekend, every evening. And actually people like John Tumihere working, working, working. And even Melino, who's joining us, working, working, working to get the message out there, because sometimes these messages are not presented in a way that is easily accessible to the Pacific population or Māori, and you need specialist communication to get that across and specialist people who understand how those populations work.
Absolutely. Me tuku mihi kia koe, e te rangatira, Melino, thank you so very much for joining us this afternoon here on E Te Rangi Waiate. Wonderful to see you. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate your generosity of time. Me tuku mihi kia koe.
Kia ora, and kia ora, Richard. It's good to see you. And hopefully we will end up with a very fruitful discussion.
Yes, I'm sure we will. Look, Melina, we were just talking about the rollout of the COVID-19 strategy in the last couple of years to our Māori and Pacifica whānau. One of the things that we had observed with Māori was that the strategy, one-stop-shop strategy, which was rolled out by the government, but then a strategy that you roll out in Ngāti Porou isn't the same one that you roll out in Te Tai Tukurau, and it certainly isn't the same one that you roll out in Te Waipounamu. I'm just wondering as well, the strategy that you would roll out for our people in Samoa, is it the same one that you would roll out for the people in Tonga, given that each of our Pacifica are nations in their own right? So should we have a one-stop shop over the whole Pacific when we are all very independent nations?
Absolutely not. And I think the government realised it toward the end, you know. And sadly, because this is something that we try to talk to government, all the government agencies, you know, and now it's actually take the COVID for the government to realise, the Pan-Pacific approach is not working and it will never work. But the ethnic Pacific strategy is always, the key, because what the Samoan is actually doing is not the same with the Tonga and vice versa. And we demonstrate that during the vaccination event, that the Tongan actually slightly do their things slightly different from the Samoan, the Cook Islands, the UN and so forth. And it should be adopted earlier, but nevertheless, government realized that the original strategy did not work, and it's sad because it actually took something like this for them to really bite the bullet and acknowledge, you know, some of the shortcoming and change it. And I'm pleased that, at the end. And that's why we end up get to the 90% vaccination, and I think it's credit to everybody.
Look, and, you know, it was a credit to the Pacifica Nation, wasn't it, Richard? Because once they got there, they were able to take their lead and to manage their own strategy. Wow, that numbers just ramped right up. So we went from basically low numbers to wow. And that's extraordinary, or simply because we were able to be given our own lead.
And that's where you get where the nothing about me without me narrative becomes even more important. So I got my first jab at West Whanau out here in West Auckland, and it was a multicultural mix of people, but you also had to understand the humour of the vaccinators. So my vaccinator was Dongan and a nurse, and she said to me when she showed me the needle, are you scared of needles? No. I want you to see this needle. And then she said, what I'm giving you is the vaccine. If you want the saline, you have to go to Highbrook. So remember, there was all that fuss about saline, but in a Tongan-centric vaccination centre, that was incredibly funny, like really, really funny, but also culturally specific. So the Dongan nurse was playing with the anxiety of the white people, and she was just riffing on it, but they were getting them through. It was so organised, and that's what you need. The West Whanau one was fantastic.
Well, Millennial, that, of course, COVID is forefront of our minds, and what of the border, though? We see that the Cook Islands, you know, we're really wanting to get our tourism operating in the Cook Islands and Fiji, back into Samoa, in Tonga. Is Tonga worried about opening their borders to us?
I think it's all the above, and also come down to its leadership. In Tonga, because I had a lot of contacts with some of the Tongan businesses in Tonga. They was dying natural death because you know, the strategy that that the government of Tonga just totally shut, and there was very little communication with the local businesses, and like the tourism was the first to die, and then some of the other businesses that died too, and it's it was so sad to see that those things was allowed to happen like that. And the thing that really got to me is I had a few interaction with the local church forum here in Auckland. And I often say to them that Tonga can't pray their way out of COVID. You know, they have to be a combination of, yes, you can pray, but you also have some action with a leadership that actually drive those action. And I think in a way that with the current situation in Tonga with the new government, new leadership, that I'm hoping that that will change their approach to how to deal with COVID and post-COVID. Because at the moment, Tonga, their vaccination is not that great either in Tonga, because some of the church was anti-vax. And actually drove some of the people, and it was really sad to see some of those where they have an impact. Those anti-vax is those area there was very little education, very little communication that reached out to them, was mainly dominated by the anti-vax, and it actually took that case of the guy from New Zealand who went to Tonga with a positive COVID test. And the whole thing just ramped up overnight. But now that's when I talk to the local people in Tonga, it's come to a halt, you know. So it's really the, you know, that those mixed messages and also lack of real leadership on the ground in Tonga.
Maybe His Majesty needs to order the people to get vaccinated, Millino.
Oh, absolutely. You have to do, because I grew up in Tonga back in the 70s, that when the king, the royal family, start taking the vaccine, everybody, you know, follow suit. But now, because there's a lot of, as I said, some of those Pentecostal church leader in Tonga, they start to question the, you know, they question the certain part in the Bible, they questioned about the number 666 and all those things, like, really confused the local. It was happened here, but the church leadership here in Auckland, and when we first started, the percentage of Tongans that was actually taking up the vaccine was only 40%. So we went from 40% to where we currently hit now. It was a huge effort by everybody.
Mm.
And that's because you turned it into a party, Melino.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's, you know, you gotta have to distract the people from fear by using dancing and welcoming and I guess bribe, you know, the Tongans to come and take the vaccine, and then they end up giving them some vouchers. You know, it works. You know, it's the part of the overall strategy.